Hey everybody, this is Daryl with AfterBuzz TV. I was recently looking to buy a car and thought to myself, there has to be a better way. It's such a stressful process. That's when my friend told me about a new way to buy a car. It's called TrueCar.com. At TrueCar.com, you can actually see what others pay for the car you're looking for in your area, so you know when you're getting a great price. Because at TrueCar.com, you get a savings certificate, and you just take that savings certificate to a TrueCar.com certified dealer, so you don't need to worry about the hassle and anxiety of the old way to buy a car. And TrueCar.com users save an average of $3,000 off the MSRP. So seriously, if you're ready to buy a car, why wouldn't you go to TrueCar.com? Negotiation-free guaranteed savings, a hassle-free experience, and a TrueCar certified dealer that is committed to a new and better way to buy a car. Come on, save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Parenthood After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Parenthood After Show.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, back to Parenthood. We are here doing Season 5, Episode 17, Limbo. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. Yes, I am engineering from the booth today. But if you're listening on iTunes, it really doesn't matter. With me, I have my two beautiful co-hosts. Go on and introduce yourselves.
I'm Danica Kennedy.
And I'm Elena Jordan.
Welcome back, ladies. Okay, this episode, craziness. What did you think of it overall? What were your overall thoughts for it?
I really liked that the Parenthood writer gods heard Elena's request to have more scenes with Drew and Amber together.
I'm going to pretend like that was all my doing.
It was all because of you.
Past three episodes, there's been a lot of Amber, Drew
scenes. They have great
scenes,
chemistry
and they're
together
awesome.
On camera.
Yeah, I agree. And we had... Sorry, I'm pulling double duty here. We had some nice scenes with a lot of siblings. I felt like it was a lot of one-on-one scenes with each other. And it, you know, crazy episode. Let's just get started with Amber and Andrew being all brotherly and sisterly. What did you think of them?
Some just sibling like, bonding.
Oh, yeah. Lots of sibling bonding time together. What did you think of them just, like, going over all their relationship problems and just dealing with life?
I just love their dynamic.
Yeah,
anytime they're on screen together, it's just awesome.
Especially since we know that they're roommates in real life.
Yeah.
And best friends, that makes it so much better for some reason. I also loved how they wrote that scene, how they were just venting about their problems but not really, you know, saying anything about
listening to each other.
They're just
not really
yelling. You need that sometimes.
I agree. And so pretty much Drew is having problems back at college with his roommate, Berto, and Natalie. And okay, so we start the episode, Drew's reading this, what seems like a depressing kind of book, but it makes him kind of miss Natalie. He's looking at pictures of her on her phone. He decides to go over to her dorm, and who else is actually there?
Berto. Who I'm not the biggest fan of, gotta say.
I'm not the biggest fan of Natalie either. I'm like, the two of you, do whatever. Go away.
Slutty, gross, college kids. Go. They should have sex with each other. Go, you know.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Do your thing.
And you know what? And Drew wasn't happy about it. He seemed jealous.
No.
Well, Amy was living with him for almost a month, which was really weird.
Which
so
Berto
I can kind of see
brought
where
up. And when Natalie comes over and confronts him, she brings up the same thing.
Like, that was almost a month long, so I kind of get where they're coming from, but I'm also like,
but
you guys are disgusting.
Talk to him first.
Dirty.
These people have severe problems with communication, and that does not go over well with a Braverman.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like some of them do. Some of the Bravermans have really good communications, and some of them don't.
Hey, Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And some of them who actually do have good communication, their message gets all misconstrued and the whole phone tree happens, and then we'll get to that. But, Birdo's sleeping with Natalie, and Natalie brings up a good point that, like, hey, you had your girlfriend here for a month, you're in and out, we don't know where they stand with their relationship. I thought Natalie was gone, but yeah, she's still here.
I think she's gross.
I think she's so gross. Birdo's so gross, too. When she walks in and he's like, oh, Drew's bummed out, so I'm going to have to pass.
Oh, like, yeah.
Gross. Everything he says, I'm just like, you were disgusting. And Natalie, you were gross to begin with, but now that you're having anything to do with him.
It made me think that Natalie was grosser.
Yeah.
That she slept with him, too. I was kind of like, ooh.
Yeah.
Negative points for you.
Done.
I think the thing with Berto is just he likes everything that Drew has, and we find out that Drew, he's been borrowing everything of Drew's and like doesn't realize those boundaries between roommates and stuff. And then Drew, he gets upset and he's the more passive aggressive kind of thing, but he does point it out that, dude, it's of all the people to sleep with, why Natalie? You know, I was kind of with her first, and I can understand where Drew got upset with that.
I say, good, don't fuck your friends. Like, your friends, your friends' friends, or your best friends, or your roommates' exes. You know, that's
There's an unspoken rule. Exes limits. Are off the table.
It's that roommates, like, bro code.
There could
kinda.
Be,
but I wouldn't really call them bros.
Every once
yet.
In a while, maybe.
It doesn't
but
matter
as an
if they're bros
rule,
or not. They live together.
Yeah, I think Drew should just go to an RA and say, hey, who can I talk to about switching roommates? Maybe he needs a better roommate.
He now has a better roommate, though, ultimately. At the end of the episode, he ends up saying he's going to move in with Amber.
I think that's smart, because
that's the perfect
how
solution.
Can Amber afford that apartment all by herself? It makes me question that. Did she really get that paid that much at the luncheonette? I don't think
it's
so.
It's not that
it.
Great of an apartment, though. They always talk about how it's in a bad neighborhood.
No.
Even though she leaves the door
true.
Open all the time in this, yeah.
Well, I mean, LA, San Francisco, New York, you can pay a lot of money for a really shitty
that's
apartment,
true.
Pretty
yeah.
much.
I agree. But, you know, I am glad that Drew is moving out and he's going to move in with Amber. I think that's a safer choice. Yeah, he might be in a shady area, but at least he's with family and his sister, who will always be there for her. So, that was really – and then they get together and they're – you know, just going over their life problems and relationships, and they end up getting stoned and drinking and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, while that dealing was... with those problems, I mean, they might as well. I loved that scene.
I
that
just
was
thought
my favorite
it was
scene
weird that Amber's
thing.
Randomly like, and surprise, I have a baggie of weed in my freezer. Like,
they would make her the stoner, though, out
but
of everyone.
But he didn't see that when he got the ice cream. Like, he was just like, what? Where did this weed come from? Like, we're just in the freezer. It's a small freezer.
Okay, is that a thing to keep weed in the freezer? Because that's news to me, and I feel like I would be pretty aware of that if that was a thing.
Well, honestly, I thought they were just smoking regular cigarettes, and then I found that, like, I'm like, they're acting a little bit more drunk, and then I saw the alcohol. Okay, maybe they're just drunk, but I guess they were stoned because they were eating ice cream. Once I saw the ice cream, I kind of knew that they were really, really stoned.
Well, they were messed up enough that they had to take a cab, or they're like, oh, we have to make sure they're
responsible
on the show.
Well, I'm glad that they took a cab to the...
That is good.
The family to function.
Family dinner. I mean, we'll get there, but
Well,
Amber had problems with drinking and driving before, too, so that was good that they were like, let's make sure that this isn't an issue.
Yeah, and I thought that was good that, very smart on there. It was like, Amber's already had that problem before. They can't go, and I'm glad they didn't drive themselves because they were in no state to drive.
Yeah.
We do not condone drunk driving.
No.
But we do condone another show. Maria Menounos, our great creator, executive producer of AfterBuzz, she has a new reality show coming out. And you know what? We're going to hear a little bit about her. So let's go to it.
Tuesdays on Oxygen.
I'm Maria Menounos, and my life can get a little crazy. I host Extra. I'm an actor, producer, dancer, wrestler, and a lot of other things.
I live with Kevin, my boyfriend of 15 years.
Do you really love me?
I would say that I'm in serious like.
And my parents. Yep. I just said I live with my parents.
You drive me crazy.
You drive me crazy. My parents want us to get married.
You both love each other. Get married.
Kevin and I don't.
I am going to get married when I want to get married.
I think I want kids. Kevin definitely doesn't want them now.
This is being pushed onto us.
And of course, my parents wanted them yesterday.
This year, you got to have it.
And I have a house full of people counting on me financially.
If I take my eye off the ball, everything can fall apart.
It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or wants us to do. It's what we want to do.
Everyone thinks that they know what's best for me, but I'm really the only one.
I have got to figure things out.
Chasing Maria Menounos is so new. Every Tuesday at 10, 9 central, starting March 18th, only on Oxygen.
Yes, yes, great new show that's coming out on Oxygen March 18th. Definitely check it out because you're going to see AfterBuzz on one of those shows. So, you know, it, just keep it within the family. And also, if you please go on to iTunes and YouTube, just please rate, download, comment about this awesome Parenthood After Show. Tell us what you love. Tell us what you don't love. And tell us what you love about these Bravermans because we sure love this family. We keep coming back every week. Craziness. I mean, this episode was pretty crazy with family. So, but you know what? Let's talk about Sarah. Sarah and Max. Max was acting a little bit crazy tonight. What did you think of Max just barging into the Hank's studio and just demanding to be on the computer and
typical
using that
Max. Printer? Max being Max.
Typical Max.
Yes,
it's nothing new. I don't think Sarah is the best at handling those situations and the best parent. Even we were talking about the stoner segment of the episode a little bit earlier, and we'll jump into the dinner, but there's just this one part where they call out the two kids on being stoned, and the aunts and uncles are like, of course, Sarah's kids would be the ones that are stoned at dinner. I thought that was funny.
Okay, you know what? I actually thought Sarah handled the situation for what it was very well, very adult, very responsible. Like, she was trying to be civil, be like, hey, I have this big project. I need this computer right now. And the way Max was acting up in his typical Max ways, but she handled the situations like, I will drive you home. Because right now I need to work on my project. And then Max goes running back home and Max just storms off. But again, it was Christina that kind of turned it on Sarah. Be like, she just dropped him off abruptly and I was expecting her to apologize, which I don't think so. I think Sarah, she handled it responsibly. I think had she been a little bit more responsible and actually talked to Christina up front, being like, this is what Max did, instead of just walking away, be like, that's your problem now, Christina, it's not mine, just dropping him off back at home, I think that would have been handled better had she done that.
I think that there's too many spoiled brat children in the world, and people do need to say no to their kids way more often. So the fact that Sarah was like, no, you can't do this right now, there's other people in the world besides you, and you're not the center of attention, I think that was like a good,
bold parenting
move.
He could have potentially ruined what she was doing. He just stuck his memory card in the thing,
yeah,
and it totally wiped out what she was working
on.
Yeah,
he's so rude, and the world revolves around
him. That's
not
cool,
in his mind, and life's not like that. You're going to have a tough reality break if you think it's like that when you're 14 years old.
I was surprised that Christina was acting the way that she was. I thought Christina would be a little bit more understanding instead of wanting to attack Sarah, basically.
You know what?
I handled it.
I wasn't that surprised that Christina would side with her child who's autistic. So we got to always consider that, put that into consideration because it is Max's tendencies to always just like overpower everything and just want to do what he wants and no one else. And then he said the line, you're being so selfish, when clearly Sarah wasn't. She was being responsible. She has a job to do. She's on a deadline. But I think it was really simple or typical of Christina to not understand the full picture. And I think Christina's always on the defense for Max. And that's her thing because people are going to be out for Max, even if it is family. Saying
well, Sarah has that great
fault.
Line, too, where she's like, you know, I finally have a place of business. You would think my family would respect that it's taken me this long, and now I finally have a workspace. But way to go, Hank, for for making her see the other side of the coin.
That was a surprising revelation. I mean, I didn't think of it like that, but I love how Hank brought that up, and he made us think about the other side. He was kind of the devil advocate.
He really sees the other side of the picture and relates to Max more than anyone else. I think he's always going to kind of side with Max in all the issues because he is like, he realizes that Max is like a baby him, I think.
Yeah.
A miniature Hank.
Mini Hank.
Mini Hank.
Even to down to getting in fights with Sarah.
Yep.
What do you guys think of Hank and Sarah's relationship right now? Because the preview for next week, I was like,
It's the whole season they've been setting it up like, oh, they should be together. They should not be together.
Yeah, I don't want them to be together.
I think that it's like, I don't think they should be together because we've already seen them together and that didn't work out well. And then when it doesn't work out from the beginning, it's probably good chances it's not going to work out in the end. So I like the professional relationship together. They can actually be civil and work together and work on fun creative projects. I mean, Sarah's enjoying it. She's getting her work done. Hank's enjoying it because that's his career. And so I think they have a nice mutual relationship when it comes to business and professionalism.
I think that's where it should stay.
But will it last?
Probably not.
We'll see.
we shall see. But in the end of that, because it all leads up to this big fight that we'll also get to. But at the end, Sarah does realize if Max wants to use the printer, I will rent out the printer for another week. He can use it next week, but I can use it this week for my stuff. So I think that was good. Very adult move on Sarah's part because in the end, Max is still a kid. He still has autism. You're still going to have to find that compromise with Max.
But I think that it's interesting that she had to pay extra money to rent that printer and assumingly the paper, the ink, all the other things, and Max is just using it anyway. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Adam should have stepped in a little bit more than he did, but...
Well, I don't think Sarah handled it well with Christina and Adam.
Right.
So but it was a gesture to kind of make up for it.
Yeah, but she tried to make up for it with renting the printer for another week, which I thought was, you know, very adult-like.
And then Max is like, oh, I'm all booked up next week. Sorry.
Well, Max still doesn't understand the
exactly, but
yeah, how the seriousness of it.
Money that requires and how thoughtful that was.
Yeah, it was thoughtful, but it was really Sarah being the adult in the situation. And
which I don't think she would have done if it wasn't for Hank. So.
Well, especially because she called them out on never saying no to their kid. That was kind of like, you don't know how to be a parent.
Big.
And then they were like, well, you don't know how to be a parent because your kids are stoners, you know.
They all start accusing each other's parenting style.
That causes serious tension. I mean, I felt like they were right and wrong on some points. That yes,
the time and place,
Adam,
people.
Yeah, that was wrong too. But like Adam and Christina, because they have an autistic child, and I don't know what that's like. I mean, I can imagine that's difficult for parents who has to deal with that with their children who have autism. So I can't really speak on that behalf, but I know it's got to be difficult, and they do have to sometimes just give in to Max and just make him happy, even if it does affect other people. I mean, it's easier said than done, just saying no, but not with Max, who can't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then
he'll
crumble. Yeah. But then, and then, you know, Adam just getting back at Sarah, being like, well, look at your kids. They're all adult and being stoned. Then how is that responsible parenting? So it was just like the little jabs at each other that
Adam
just
was kind of thrown under the bus a couple times, though, going into how he became the replacement.
Yes, and we'll
didn't
get
no.
Yes, so perfect segue. Jasmine's mom. Sorry, I'm blanking on
Renee.
Renee, thank you. Renee comes back and she's telling Jasmine and Crosby, "Oh, Aida needs a baptism because her soul is in danger," and very, very religious. I mean, nothing wrong with baptism. I'm baptized, so they want a baptism for Aida, and I can understand Jasmine and Crosby's hesitation not to have one because we did have an episode previously earlier in this. Like last season, or I think, or something, or two seasons ago, about religion And when I'm, you can, that Crosby's not very religious, but Jasmine's family is, and Jasmine is. So we, but they won a baptism for Aida. And, but, you know, at baptisms, you need godparents to be present. I mean, are you guys godparents in any way?
No. Am I? No.
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 No, people know way too, know way better than to us in charge of their children.
Okay. That, well,
are you?
Yes, I only asked that because I am twice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
aww.
For two different people. So I know what that's like to be asked by someone from, by two different people. So, like, I feel honored. And then, yes, I would be upset if they took that away from me. And Adam, well, so really, Joel and Julia were the original godparents to Aida. But because they're separated now, they think it'd be more fitting to have stable people to be the godparents. I mean, when it comes to religion, I can understand you want more stability in a kid's life like that. So, Crosby makes the unfortunate decision to go to Joel, be like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to revoke your godfather title. And Joel was, like, very understanding.
Well,
I felt bad for him.
You can tell he was sad. You can tell he was sad when he said, no, I don't need to be the godfather. But, like, you could just see that it was, you know, he was watching pieces of this family that he had created with Julia.
Yeah.
Go away. So, I mean, his heart was a little broken, and he even said it himself later on when he was like, this wasn't my fight. There's nothing I could do about it. I was asked to sit out. That has to hurt.
Yeah.
It does suck.
Do you think he was right? Because I feel like Joel, you know, being like, still being a godfather, that was his attachment, still another attachment to this family. But then when you cut that off, that's just another cut off from the Braverman family. That pushes him away a little bit more.
That happens, though. Like, when families, you know, parents break up, but then there's all the other people in the family that are connected, and they don't really think about that right away. And then once the breakup sets in, it's like, oh, there's a baptism. And, you know, it's not like weeks in advance, like, oh, maybe we'll work it out. It was like that Sunday. And that's another reason why he had to approach him, I think. And
too.
Be like,
well, Renee really was the one. Renee flat out said,
I think if it was
he's
like
got a
later
foot out the door,
he
can't be godfather anymore. Which at that point, you're just going to be like, look, Grandma,
calm down.
We're the parents of this kid. We'll take care of that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But Renee's the very religious, has to have it by the book kind of. We have to have stable parents, stable godparents, a stable family.
But the thing about, which I understand, but the thing about godparents is that if something happened to Jasmine and to Crosby, then Aida would go to the godparents and they would raise him. But that's two different families. Adam and, you know, and Julia, they.
Yeah.
I did thought it was weird that Christina wasn't like,
the same
why
bloodline.
Am I not godmother?
Yeah, I was expecting her to ask, like, why am I not the godmother when he was over there asking him? But luckily she didn't, because she was already pissed off enough in this episode. That would have been way worse. But I think it worked out fine in the end. I mean, it was hilarious at that dinner, though. They had this big family dinner.
Goodness.
Also, Camille and Renee both wanted this brunch to be at their house. And
how'd you feel about them kind of butting
heads? They were
heads.
Kind of, yeah, they were
well,
kind of
Camille,
competitive.
I think it almost made they're her competitive. Reevaluate the house. You could kind of see when they were like, well, you've got so much going on. You're selling the house. This isn't going to be the home base anymore. And then
and
she was kind of like, wait a minute. So
no one comes to me anymore. I'm going to have to go visit all my kids at other places. There's no home base.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was really, really smart of Crosby to kind of plant that seed a bit and be like, you know what? You kind of brought that on yourself. And Renee's going to take care of the brunch that we're going to have. And then you can see Camille get competitive, be like, well, if she's going to have brunch, I'm going to have
dinner. So
and then I will cook. I will cook for all of you. I love doing it. And I'm kind of offended that you didn't ask me first, you know?
The dinner was hilarious,
are all about
though.
Compromises. almost to an absurd degree, though. Like, that's how they settle on the compromise. But then Sarah's like, this family, when she gets the notification, she's like, now there's a dinner. There's a brunch. There's the baptism. Now there's a dinner. Then there's going to be something else because that's just what we do.
I thought it was going to be a way more dramatic dinner with Jasmine's whole family and all the Bravermans. But it ended up just being, you know, the four older siblings arguing at the dinner table and then Jasmine's whole family completely silent. By the way, that baby is not half black.
That is the whitest baby I have ever
seen. Baby Aida is the pastiest baby I've ever seen. Aida
does never seen a whiter baby.
Yeah, it's a very, very white baby. I noticed that too. But the family dinner, not your typical Braverman dinner, because I feel like all the family dinners that we see, they're usually happy or they're talking about something serious. But they're
stone drunk,
this was
arguing.
So
just an anxious,
this was
stressful,
a unconventional parenthood dinner. They're all fighting at each other like little kids.
It's like having the in-laws over, having Jasmine's family over was like an added stress upon all the other drama that was going on.
They were being really passive-aggressive, too, all the kids. You know, Adam, well, oh, I guess I'm just not a good parent because Sarah says I'm not. And Christina's, look at her kids. Her kids are stoned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just back and forth.
And yeah, all those digs that, let's see. Sarah's not married, so they didn't ask her to be a godmother. And then Joel and Julia aren't really together anymore, so she can't be, or like Joel can't be godparents. And then just the parenting problems and being the runner up. Poor Adam, being the runner up, the fill in. That was like just
well, that was news to Adam, but the biggest news was to Sarah that she's the only one after months of all the other kids knowing about the house. This is the first time Sarah finds out that they're selling the home that she lived in.
She started freaking out
just a few months prior, too. Yeah, she lived in the shed.
She lived there the most recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Technically, Jasmine and Crosby were the last ones to live there.
Well, but they have their own home. They're just over there.
They weren't living there.
I can understand Sarah's frustration that she was the last one to know.
Especially Sarah doesn't know how this is going to work out. She might have to move back with her family, you know? Like, this is her first time really out on her own. Now she has nowhere to go.
Sarah still has her apartment.
Yeah, but I'm saying if that doesn't work out, she's the super.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just broke up with a tenant that she was sleeping with. That's probably not great.
Well, this is the year of the Sarah, so if that did happen, I feel like Sarah could still pick herself up and go to another place.
I hope so.
So I feel like she's more responsible and more stable now.
But she still had to have that panic of that, but what if something goes wrong? Where do I go?
Well, I'm glad that she had that panic because we saw the reactions from the other siblings when they found out individually now. And I thought it was cool how for this big storyline all of them found out on their own instead of one sit down, like when parents sit down with their kids and to say something really important and stuff like that and discuss something like as big as selling their house. I thought it was interesting because they are all adults that they found out individually,
which normally would be good, but I think in this instance they needed to sit down because they forgot about Sarah.
So sad.
Yeah, poor Sarah. But during that whole big fight, they realized, Joel's not even there. And then because earlier in the episode we see Julia upset that Joel's not the godparent anymore, calls up Joel and says, "Hey, you're not even fighting for this. You're not fighting to be with me. You're not fighting to be part of this family. Then, call me when you're ready to fight for us." And I can understand Julia's problem with that. I mean, I'm a godmother, but I'm not married. And I don't think you need to be married to be godparent, obviously.
You just need to
obviously.
Be there for the kid.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be there. But Joel, Julia, their names are so alike. Julia makes a big deal out of it, but Julia makes good point that Joel just, didn't really do anything. But again, he says it's not his fault, and it's not his fight. And Zeke realizes this whole thing, and has been and I loved how Zeke just does this. He goes to Joel's apartment, that sad, alone apartment, and just really reassures him, like, I gave you to Julia. I believed in you then, and I still believe in you now. And Zeke, what did you think Zeke out of all people to do this?
Well, just that line when he's like, so, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
He just stops. And he's like, come on, man. Like, look around you. What's going on?
Be a man.
And it's not until that moment, I think, that Joel really, you know, that things really set in.
He needed someone to say that to him. Mm-hmm, what the hell are you doing?
And he needed around you. Zeke, I think, because Zeke is the perfect person. Because Crosby is like a little version of Zeke, I think. And, you know, he's acted more like him, but he kind of did the, you know, we want you to be a part of our family. We consider you as part of the family. I hope you work it out.
Well, and especially that helped, the whole wedding part where he was like, I walked
Zeke
you
came in,
down the aisle and approved of you to be my son and give my daughter off to you. And now you're doing this. Like, what the hell are you doing?
So now he's had two different members of her family approach him saying, hey, we want you to be part of the family. What are you doing?
Yeah, so. And I thought that was really good on Zeke, the oldest, wisest person to really bring his family even closer. And so we finally get to the baptism the next day, and everyone's there, happy and spirits. This is where everything fell apart at the family dinner, but everything's like coming back together at the baptism, which I liked how they tied that up. And then we actually see Joel come to Aida's baptism. And then we saw the quick little look at each other, Joel and Julia. They cross eyes and stuff like that. And what do you think? Do you think that was the moment where they want to really work together and work out their marriage?
I think because this show is so realistic, you know, they don't really have that one epiphany moment that a lot of scripted drama has where they look into each other's eyes and they go, oh, none of our problems matter anymore. Like, this is still definitely going to be
more
a storyline that
yeah.
gets dragged out, that they really, you know, approach from different angles. But I think that definitely was a big step of him showing, hey, I am willing to fight for us, at least in a way that I can.
I felt it was like baby steps for Joel. I mean,
it's showing an effort.
Oh, yeah. There's a big gap between them, but it's baby steps to get closer together, even if it is just showing
Julia
up.
Julia know that he cares.
Yeah, at a point. He cares about the family. He cares about, so by extension of the family, he cares about Julia. And poor the kids, Victor and Sydney, they're really getting affected by this, and I think in the previews we saw this is really going to go down bad. Yeah.
Sydney's going to lose it.
So sad.
Yeah. But is there anything else of this awesome episode? I mean, it was really emotional. I mean, not like sad, but just like heavy, hard-hitting.
Intense.
A lot of, very intense.
That baptism scene was a beautiful scene, but there was just this one shot we noticed where Baby's got her whole hand up her nose.
They show Christina, and she's holding little Nora, and you just see like her whole finger is like gone.
Digging for gold. And
I think
like
nobody noticed because it was such a good shot of Christina.
Shot of Monica Potter. Her hair looks fabulous, and she's just like looking great in this church. And then we're like,
of course,
wait,
the only thing
the baby.
I see, I'm like, ooh,
like, oh,
that gross baby.
On?
The baby's so gross. Stop showing it. Go to anybody else. There's so many people in the family. Stop showing it.
Well,
I had to point that out, though.
You can't really control babies like that. I mean, I
thought it was funny
that
they left the shot. Like, I want to know if they noticed.
It was such a beautiful scene, and then we're like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, oh, come on, baby.
So this episode was called Limbo, so I think everything between Joel and Julia are still in that state of limbo. We don't know if they're going to still get back together or not. So, but you know, with that, let's get a prediction.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. So we saw a few previews, and there might be an actual buyer for the Braverman house, and it's an easy process apparently. And do you think Camille and Zeke will officially go through with it?
Nope,
I
don't think
they don't. I hope they don't. I don't know.
I hope not too, because I think these past few episodes there were just like little things here that ties them still as a family. And Camille's like slowly realizing it, like with this dinner. She has to have a dinner to have the whole family together. And last week's episode, something happened and all of them are together. And I don't think Camille's going to go.
I don't think they're going to go through with it. I think they're going to almost sell it and then something's going to happen and she's going to have a gut feeling and be like, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because where are they going to go? I just can't imagine any other place they could set up.
And like we were saying, there would be no home base for the whole family to get together. And this family is very close and they love hanging out together. They're not going to all cram into one of the other kids' houses.
We don't call them Team Braverman for nothing.
Exactly.
They have to have, you know, they can't be a team without no dugout.
It wouldn't be a Braverman without this beautiful, awesome home. I mean, that is the Braverman. It's a character in and of itself. And this is already the 17th episode of the season. They're still talking about it. And I just hope they wrap the story up pretty soon. And they might hopefully wrap it up with next week's episode. And so Joel and Julia, we still don't know where they're at, but the kids are affected. And Sydney, the little brat that she is, it seems like she's blaming Victor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been we've talked about. It was like Victor coming into the family and then
and
like everything started
broke up everything.
Well, we're not saying Victor is the problem, but that's when everything really just started falling apart.
Well, the real issue was when she left her job. From that point forward, even before they even got Victor, there were issues.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like it's just Julia hasn't found her place with her not being a lawyer anymore. And it makes me so sad that they've even, you know, kind of hit that rough spot. But Zeke says it best, I think, when he says, you hit a rough spot, you can't just give up.
So. Yeah, little Victor, he can't feel like he's to blame for all the family crumbling down.
No, poor Victor. And then, you know, we didn't hear anything about this charter school with Christina. And so hopefully maybe they'll pick that storyline back up for next week. But in the meantime, and, you know, of course, we don't know what's going to happen with Sarah and Hank. Their relationship is...
In the preview, it looks like they rekindled their romance a little, which I'm not rooting for.
They start to, yeah. And then Hank's kind of like, friends. What's it going to be? I can't always be here for you.
Oh, it's gonna get I feel like next week might get really, really emotional.
Really like the Sarah love triangle episode, so I'm excited about next week.
It's always interesting, but yeah. So in the meantime, where can we all follow you, Danica?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danica Kennedy.
And Elena?
You can follow me on Twitter at Elena Jordan. And if you're in Los Angeles, check me out March 22nd. I'll be performing at the Comedy Store on Sunset Strip.
Awesome. And you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun jazz at AfterBuzz TV. Definitely check out Maria Menounos' Chasing Maria Menounos' reality show airs March 18th. You'll see some familiar faces and definitely check it out. It looks like a really, really good show. I'm excited to see it, as I think all of us are. And you know what? We will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.